Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning I'm going to deal with something that St. Paul brings out, but that our catechisms do not. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I suspect that a lot of us would imagine that what's gotten at there is associated with Christ's atoning sacrifice, that the body that was broken or given is Christ on the cross, that the blood is the blood that was poured out for the remission of our sins. And certainly that is one way to take it, but perhaps there is another way. Let's just start with this, the simple, the common notion that eating and drinking are for more than just satisfying a hunger, a thirst. Eating and drinking are socially significant. That's why we have birthday cakes and wedding cakes. That's why we have coffee hour and happy hour. This is why my son, in planning for his birthday, has already, it's several weeks off, already has a menu. Breakfast will be hash browns with chili. Lunch will be calzones. Supper will be lasagna. And the birthday cake will be mud pie. He intends not to celebrate alone, and so he's already planning invitations. He's going to compose them himself. This is what you do. People have done these kinds of things for a long time. When someone comes, you receive them, and you receive them, you mark that by giving them something to eat. Three men visit Abraham, and he gives them bread, and he takes the choice calf and has it killed and gives them milk and curds. Samson's parents, to take just another story, meet a man of God who tells them that they're going to have a son who's going to redeem Israel from the Philistines, and so they want to detain him and give him a young goat. Jesus, when he came the first time, ate with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus calls Matthew, they have a dinner, and Matthew's friends come, and the Pharisees wonder. They ask the disciples, "Why does your master do this?" This is not just an idle question. They would say over and over again, this man Jesus, he receives sinners and eats with them. When Jesus is talking about himself, they say about him, he's a glutton and a drunkard, the friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus did not only satisfy his hunger and his thirst with others, he received them by eating with them. And that was the problem. Jesus wouldn't change his ways. His opponents wouldn't change their mind. And so he was rejected, he suffered, and he was crucified. On the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, gave it to disciples, and said, "This is my body." And he took the cup and gave it to them, "This is my blood." And what did the disciples do? One betrayed him, another denied him, and they all abandoned him. Meals are socially significant. For my son, for lots of you, for the people in the Old Testament, for Jesus. And here it is. When we do this, when we eat the bread and drink the cup, we are proclaiming Jesus Christ and him crucified. We are acknowledging him as the Messiah, him as Lord. We're acknowledging the things that he did, the things that he said. We're acknowledging that they are foolishness and a stumbling block. We are acknowledging that Jesus is the Lord. And he is, because on the third day he rose again. And in his resurrection he makes the whole meal grace. He is the host, he is the food. From top to bottom, from beginning to end, it is grace. Grace for you. Grace for all who eat. Grace for all who drink. Because it's the sign that Jesus receives you. Not only in being the host, but in being the meat and the drink. So keep those things in mind. The next time you hear the words, "Our Lord Jesus Christ," on the night when he was betrayed, And when you take into your mouths the bread and take into your mouths the wine, and know that throughout, not only is God being gracious to you, but that you are proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him crucified until He comes again. So may it be.